Mike McFeely Show on the mighty 790 KFGO. I don't know if Mike Williams has picked up on this yet, Pinto, but the reason I ask him back in the program a lot is not to talk about serious topics like Renaissance zones and great projects going on in downtown Fargo. It's to try to trick him into giving me all his fishing spots. And it hasn't worked yet. But we always end up talking for about 5 minutes about fishing before we come on the air. Then I'm left with 30 seconds to go, wait a second, I have to get ready to talk to you about our interview, Mike. Stop. So thanks for coming by.
That's right. And it's going to warm up. I can hardly wait. We were just saying President's Day looks like a good day for getting out on the ice. Mid-30s, low wind, can hardly wait.
Well, and I always used to mock older people who wouldn't want to get out and tough it out. You know, I was one of those guys who was, if it was raining, snowing, blowing, hurricaning, I was out there trying to catch fish. Last weekend, I will admit it to the world. I woke up on Saturday morning, looked at the temperature, I went, God, it's 15 below outside. I went, nah, I'm just going to make a cup of coffee and read the paper. Yeah. Sunday morning, same. I said, I'll go tomorrow. I wake up on Sunday, look at the temperature, 14 below. I said, no, I'm going to turn the fireplace on and then watch some golf or something. So
yeah,
it's scary.
I have a friend that went up to Lake of the Woods, and the fishing was not good. He's had great trips there. So you know how fishing is. It's not always good, but it's fun when it is.
Cool story today about the Fargo Renaissance Zone Authority decided, you know what, go ahead with a $9 million project in the Union Storage and Transfer building on NP Avenue. Big old warehouse over there in downtown Fargo. This is cool because I'm not going to say it's an eyesore, but it's certainly been there. I think it's been empty for a long, long time, hasn't it, Mike?
Yeah, it's been empty for about 20 years. My dad ran Fargo Business Machines out of the basement. There were 10 of us, and he used to barter. He'd fix their cash registers and their typewriters for food. So we'd stop by there and get a case of shrimp and toilet paper. He was in the barter, but I have fond memories of the Union Storage. Anyway, it's a cool project, you're right. It has been deteriorating in that west side of NP Avenue. As we've, we did the corridor study here. Well, it's been before the conversion when it was one ways to two ways. Mm-hmm. And part of what we projected would happen is if when we turn it to two-way conversion, there's going to be more development along that corridor. And you're seeing it already. You see a new apartment going across from the Renaissance Hall over by A Street, mm-hmm. and now this project. So this is just the tip of the iceberg.
So how much is the Renaissance tax exemption going to be? Is it $600,000+?
Well,
is that right?
It, on the typical Renaissance zone project tax exemption is 5 years for property tax, and then the state has 5 years for income tax. And one thing I really like about the Renaissance zone is you get a fairly quick return. So generally, most of the projects have been revitalization projects on properties that are already paying some property tax. But since, and these guys are too, but at a very low rate because the value of the building is so low. So I think that this package of incentives is unique because it's more than I'm usually comfortable with. Mm-hmm. But in this case, I think that the Renaissance and then the payment in lieu of taxes, with 40 new units and people living downtown, I think that's going to be a good deal.
Well, and what I've always said, the point you've always tried to get out there and that I've tried to parrot and let people know as well, is that you can look at the numbers and say, well, my gosh, this tax exemption is, we're losing that tax money. But the point you always make to me, Mike, is just wait for 5 years.
Right.
And then when they start paying property taxes, because whatever company took it over, whatever holding company is doing, the developer does, that increases the value of the property. And so when they do start paying property taxes, you get your money back in a fairly short amount of time.
Right. And it's not just that. It's that you're already built on existing infrastructure. So you're making best advantage of the roadways that are already there, the sidewalks, the trees, the city services. It's 3 blocks away from a fire station. The police are already going by there. So there's no real added cost for delivering services when you do projects like this. And then if there happens to be students or people that are working in that neighborhood, They don't even have to drive, so they don't even have to use a parking spot or drive and create congestion. So there's all kinds of values.
Fargo City Commissioner Mike Williams, our guest on the Mike McFeely Show. So what's going to become of this building? What's the plan for the building? Is it going to be apartments and stores, or what's it going to be?
Yeah, mostly different types of apartments. There'll be workforce housing style single bedroom units, and I think there's about 30 of those or 24 of those, and another 10 or 12 that'll be two bedroom, and then four that'll be three bedroom. So there'll be different ranges, but it will be in that area that, you know, you don't have to be rich, that you have to be rich to live there. And there are some of those downtown, but the repurposing of this building, I think, is really good. And to have 40 more units downtown for people that are living right there, that's nice. So you figure 40 units and a bunch of two-bedroom places, there's probably going to be 60, 70 people living there.
Who is the normal, and that's maybe not the right word, but who is the normal person or the stereotypical person who lives in downtown Fargo? Because I think when you think of downtown Fargo, at least for me, it's young, it's hip, it's happening. It's all those things. But as you pointed out there just a second ago, it seems like some of the places downtown are a little bit more upscale. Right. So is there a standard person who lives downtown?
Well, I would say no, and that's part of the fun of it. I mean, you've got all ranges of people. There's some low-income housing that's downtown, that's two blocks away from the most expensive apartments in town, which is on Broadway. So you see an eclectic mix, and that is part of what makes it interesting. So it's vital that you generally the low-income housing and the high-income housing is the easiest to fund because there are low housing tax credits. A project like this doesn't really apply to that because it's workforce housing. It's not really a category that has that type of a tax break. So that's why the additional incentives with the pilot is a good application here.
Is the housing that's downtown right now, is it pretty much full? I mean, is there going to be a demand? This is a lot of apartments they're adding in.
There is more demand. And that's part, as we've said before, there's a lot of flat lots that were buildings where there were businesses, there were residents, and that when you take a picture of the downtown in the 50s, Fargo and Moorhead, you didn't see flat parking lots. They were all multi-use buildings. So we're only 50% built at best. So this chart I like to show so much. In 2004, the whole downtown in this area, the Renaissance Zone, was worth about $150 million. Now it's over $650 million, so it's quadrupled. And the revenues that it brings in, it used to bring in $500,000 for the taxing entities, and now it's $3 million, so it's gone up 2.5. So it shows that you do get your return by adding value, and you don't have a huge impact on delivering services because you're already right there. Yep. So there's huge value for the city and residents.
What are you missing in downtown Fargo? When you talk to residents or people who frequent downtown, what are they saying they need? Because when I see there's more retail down there now than there ever has been, at least in my time in Fargo, there's more housing. There's, you know, coffee shops, bars, restaurants, you know, all kinds of mix of those things. But what's missing down there?
First of all, the flood protection. Well, yeah. So we are doing that. We're going to be starting this year with that permanent flood protection in a way that protects the downtown, but then also we can access the river. But beyond that, I would say that there are some grocery stores on the fringes, you know, like Sun Mart over on University, and then the closest groceries over in Moorhead at Hornbacher's. So I'd say that those types of, doesn't have to be a large, huge grocery store, but there is a food co-op that's working to get established. And I'm hoping that if they do get going with that, that they can find a downtown site. I think it'd be a good site for them.
One thing that I learned or that I'm learning about is I saw the little tidbit about Doug Burgum's project with the church that his company purchased downtown. Now, is he asking for the Renaissance Zone to be expanded beyond its current boundaries so that he can take advantage of some of these programs? Is that what's happening?
Well, actually, we've done that. So you get 38 blocks. That's what Fargo has been allocated for Renaissance. And over the course of that program that started, I believe, in 2000, the boundaries have changed. Basically, created by demand. So there's some areas that are getting more fully developed than others, and there's some areas that we don't think are ripe for development as others. So that boundary changing is really something that just continues to evolve. So this really isn't anything new, but it is another, there's a good example. St. Mark's is a great Lutheran church, but they never did pay taxes. So again, this is going to be a reuse of a building that wasn't paying taxes and a five-year tax break to have something that does turn into a tax generator looks to me like a net gain.
So has the Renaissance Zone always been 38 blocks?
I think it was 33 at the very beginning, okay. And then it was expanded to 38. But that basically you have to have, and it has to be contiguous. You can't just pick and choose and pick up a spot.
So you're getting some parts of it out of the Renaissance Zone to make room because you're limited to the 38 blocks, and that's what's going to happen with Doug Burgum's property.
Well, if it's approved, that's what they're considering. But again, you know, you're seeing more development in that area, and it really it's been a area that has not been very vibrant, I could say. And now you see there's a great building that was just built on 4th Avenue and 7th Street, Robert Street, and that's turned out great. I think there's 80 units in there. And what's neat about that building is they don't have a huge parking lot because people that live there don't have to drive. So one of the advantages of living in an area where you don't have to drive is residents save $9,000 for the one fewer car. So if you have two cars, if you have one instead of two cars, you save $9,000 a year. That goes a long way to helping with your house payment. Well, that adds huge value.
Last question, Mike. I'll let you go. The convention center or the exhibition hall, whatever you want to call it, talk about attaching it to the Fargo Dome or having it downtown. What do you favor, first of all, and then how is this going to play out? Because there's a lot of different forces in play here, all trying to pull and push and make this thing happen the way they want to make it happen.
Right. So before we talk about location, we have to figure out how you're going to fund it. So there is a reserve fund, and it's important that we keep that reserve fund because that generates the interest income that's needed to cover the dome's whole costs. So when you hear about operational profit at the dome, that's operational profit. That doesn't include improvements and furnishings and fixtures, capitals, things like that. So you need to keep money working to cover that annual deficit. And for any convention center, there'll also be a deficit that needs to be considered. That said, I think that there may be a way that we can finance this sustainably and leave most of that dome reserve fund working for generating those.
You don't want to touch the reserve fund. I mean, you're over the years, you've been somebody who's been very protective of the reserve fund.
It makes the difference. It's probably the biggest single tool that makes the Fargo Dome viable and sustainable over the course of the years. And at some point, we may be able to dip into that capital. But if we were to add another 60,000 square foot facility, and like I said, the dome's been using $2 million a year of that money that's generated from that reserve fund. If you take half away, can you expect to make $2 million a year on $20 million forever and ever, amen? No. So that's part of what we can do. That said, the comparative analysis for the Fargo Dome and downtown, you have to decide, okay, what kind of convention center is it going to be, and where will it have the most benefit for the city of Fargo as a whole? And when you look at values, I think we'll see that it may be downtown.
Okay, we'll find out. And nice Randy Travis reference there, too, by the way. Michael, thank you. Appreciate it. Always good to talk to you. Mike Williams, Fargo City Commissioner.